This is Phil Farron. And I am driving around. Because we have a worship team, technical team meeting at church tonight. So I need to be over there by 6. I'm leaving work a little early today because I was in a little early because I had breakfast with a buddy. So that was all good. So I've got to do this in 20 minutes. I've got to... We got to wrap this up in 20 minutes. Because I need to run to the store and get some nuts and fruit to eat. And then I got to get back to the church. And we're cutting over to a new version of the presenting software we use, Pro Presenter. We're cutting over to Pro Presenter 7. So I got to run over and get the service set up. And then we have the meeting. And then I have writing, et cetera, et cetera. And then I have making my tailor's dummy. I'm calling it a tailor's dummy as opposed to a dress form, even though I am going to be using it to make a dress, sort of. So, because I've been needing some sort of dress form because it's just a whole lot easier when you're trying to, you know, hang fabric and see how drape is and all that kind of stuff. You got something to work on, something to pin something to. That's shaped the same size as you are, but of course I just can't buy a off-the-shelf dress form because that's not going to work. And this is my beloved, so I am going to sign off for a second and I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that. But that's one less thing I think I have to do tonight. So, that worked out okay. So yeah, it's been an interesting week. Everything's been puttering along. Haven't got quite as much done as I wanted to, but this week at work, there were some distractions and yada yada, that happens. I got pulled in, it's been a couple of months now, to do a quick setup to get some things going for funds. Different funds, and then that went into beta, and then we get suggestions, and then it falls back on me to get those suggestions implemented. So there's been some distractions there and some distractions with just other things, but you know what? Step at a time, step at a time, step at a time. We're going to get this done. I was talking about dress form. Yes, so it's just so much easier to have something to pin to, so I've been wanting to do something like that. Some people use duct tape. They use duct tape and like saran wrap, and you saran wrap yourself up and then you duct tape over the top of it, and then you cut off the duct tape and then you seal the duct tape back up and the shell, and then you stuff it, and then you have your basic form. And that's okay. But it's not really like a dress form where you can pin stuff to it, you know, because you're having to penetrate the duct tape, and that's pretty hard. And then I stumbled across this video of someone using a company where you send them your measurements, take a bunch of different measurements, and they put it into their little CAD program. And then, like, 20 minutes later, bing, you know... Out pops your pattern for you. And so I went ahead and did that last weekend. Because I knew I was going to need it for Blame It on Someone Else Day. I knew it was going to be just a whole lot easier to build that outfit if I had a dress form, a tailor's dummy, whatever you want to call it. So then last week, you know, picked up cloth, all that kind of stuff, picked up, fusible interfacing, it's called, all that kind of thing. It's been working on that this week. I really need to get it finished this weekend because I have a new costume I need to do between now and Blame It on Someone Else Day. I mentioned last week, and it's interesting because I thought when I was mentioning it that there's kind of a little element of faith there in mentioning it. And we had small group leadership last night. And one of the things that I told them is that I am, in this last year, trying to be more proactive about predicting the goodness and love of God. To be more proactive, and instead of saying, well, I'm sure things are just going to work out for you, to say, look people in the eye and say, look, I don't know how, I don't know when, but God is going to work this out. And you're going to see that He's faithful. And it's going to be good. And I've done that in some cases within recent months, and have just seen some wonderful things happen. So part of this whole costuming thing is that I'll get a nudge in a certain direction, and that nudge will usually happen months before it comes about. You know what? I think I'm going to duck into the cemetery here because I've got some notes, and this is going to be easier to do. And there's a cemetery on the way to church, and I'm just going to duck in here and find a little parking place. Or maybe I'll drive around in the cemetery because I can go slow. So, you know, I've been consciously trying to be more proactive about that. To say, yes, I truly do believe in the goodness of God. Yes, I truly do believe in God speaking to us and nudging us and pushing us. And so if I feel that something is a nudge, I've had this happen enough now that if it feels like something is a nudge, then I'm going to talk about it before it comes about. And I think I mentioned last week that I've been getting this nudge when it comes to the costumes, as I've been looking forward, mapping in all the costumes I did last year with the current spate of Fridays and how days shift. I think I mentioned that I hadn't been real happy with Magna Carta Day. Magna Carta Day is coming up second week in June. So what we have left is Pizza Party Day. That's tomorrow. Next week will be Memorial Day. Next week will be Donut Day. Whoop whoop! First Friday in June. Donut Day. So that's fun. Hang on. This is somebody else I need to talk to. One moment. Yeah, fun stuff. This young man that's living out on our rock house, man, God is at work. He's at work. And actually, he's one of the guys that, I mean, it was weeks and weeks ago, we were in the jaws of the beast. I mean, it holy cow, it was bad. We were in the jaws of the beast, and my wife was with him, and they were waiting. And there were governmental agencies involved, and they were waiting. And we were praying, and we were praying, and we were praying, and we were praying. And it was interesting because the decision was supposed to be made at like 12:30 or 1, and I hadn't heard of anything. And it got to be about 3:30 in the afternoon. I still hadn't heard anything. And yet, in the midst of all of that, suddenly I started getting happy. Just out of the blue, whenever I thought about it, I started getting happy, and I thought, what? You know, but I was hesitant. I didn't want to text Net and say, I just got happy, because I was hesitant, you know. And then it was like another hour still, and then boom, we got the good news that against all odds, things had resolved. And I had told this particular young man, this buddy, I had told him, I said, listen, man, you got to understand something. You're in the jaws of the beast right now and everything looks really bad. But I'm telling you right now, we get 5-6 months down the road on this thing. You are going to look back on these moments and realize these were turning points. That this needed to happen. so that other things could get set in place and we could get things moving in the right direction. So anyways, good news there, good news. Okay, we're back. So I mentioned, I think last week, that Magna Carta Day, that I was getting pinged on that. And it had happened multiple times. Every time I'd review my schedule and say, okay, that's coming up, that's coming up, that's coming up, I'd get to Magna Carta Day, and I have a knight's costume, and it's fine, it's cool. I was going to get a big broadsword with it, and, you know, plastic broadsword this time, and because I had a rapier for the Talk Like Shakespeare Day that was from The Princess Bride, and everybody really loved that, so I was just going to buy a plastic broadsword, put that on there. Great, it's going to be great. And every time I looked at Magna Carta Day, every time I looked at it, it was like, eh, it's fine. Eh, you know, it was just a little meh. And so I'm like, okay. So what is that? Meh. But I thought, well, whatever. It's fine. Because I had looked for replacements, couldn't find anything. And then I'm running sound for a memorial service on Saturday, and I get through all the hard parts of running sound for this, that, and the other, and we're just going through the eulogy parts, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I get this impression, why don't you look again at things that happened on June 11th? Because that is that Friday. It's June 11th. And Magna Carta Day was going to be June the 15th, so it would be close enough to the Friday that it would work, but it wouldn't quite be on the Friday. So, but it was very, why don't you look what happens on June the 11th? Okay, so I pull out my phone, you know, while I'm listening, and we're at the memorial service, and I'm running sound. And so I just typed in what happened on June 11th. I had searched for this before, and apparently just missed it. I'm scrolling down, and I look at it, and it says King Kamehameha's birthday. I'm like, what? King Kamehameha? Wait, that's Hawaiian, what? King Kamehameha? And so then it's like, well, why don't you look up pictures of King Kamehameha? Okay. So I look up pictures of King Kamehameha. Lo and behold, there's a statue in Washington, D.C. that was made, a bronze statue that was made of King Kamehameha. And he's got this great costume on. And I'm looking at this going, I can make that. And so all of a sudden now, I have a new costume to make. And it's only like 3 or 4 weeks away. Thankfully, it's basically just a cape. I've got a muscle suit. I can put on the muscle suit. I've got a black unitard. I can put on that over the top of it. And then I just basically have to make myself a kind of a fancy cape, which I looked at and it's like, yeah, I can make this. But it's going to be a whole lot easier to make that with a dress form. So all of a sudden, it's extremely important that the dress form get done quickly. Hoping to get that done this weekend, that I can get the King Kamehameha costume in, and then my rest of my fabric and stuff is supposed to be in for the Blame It On Someone Else Day, blah, 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 blah. We get all the way through. So it's fine. So that's the resolution on that. That's why I kept getting meh on the other one on Magna Carta Day. Ta-da. Writing is going fine. Writing is going well. I'll be pulling back over to book 14 soon. In a couple of weeks here, but by the time I get through this weekend, I should be at 80,000 words. I still have one more week to go. That should put me at 90,000 words. I know where I need to go in that, so I've got those pieces coming along. I think everything will be fine there. So we're good there. Writing is good. Costumes are good. This King Kamehameha thing should be fun. So that's all going well. Work is going well. All is well. Church is well. Got to run over to church here in a few minutes. But I'm going to go get some food first. So I'm going to run by Walmart, get some food. Anyways, so I'm always on the lookout. If you've listened to this podcast for any time at all, I'm always on the lookout for people who are in the secular realm and are trying to express what I consider to be spiritual issues. And mainly what I consider to be spiritual issues is, you know, the love of God and the things like the battle between the flesh and the spirit and all that kind of stuff. Because these things exist, they are in my experience, and it's always interesting for me when I see a secular opinion on what this is or what people, how people might decide you can deal with these types of situations. So, well, I've got to get to my notes, so we're just going to do this quick, fast, like a racehorse. And so that's always really interesting to me. So I came across this article. I think this came from Pocket. I think this came from Pocket. It was one of the articles they featured on there. And the name of the article was Why Your Most Important Relationship is with Your Inner Voice. And I thought, inner voices. The subtitle was Your Inner Monologue Shapes Mental Well-Being, says psychologist Ethan Cross. He has the tools to improve your mind's back chat. Now, as soon as it said that, I was like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to be talking about the relationship of flesh and spirit and that kind of thing. He's not going to use those terms, but this is what he's talking about. So, and another subtitle was What We Experience on the Inside Can Blot Out Almost Everything Else If We Let It. So, this article, it starts off, it says, as Ethan Cross, an American experimental psychologist and neuroscientist, will cheerfully testify, the person who doesn't sometimes find themselves listening to an unhelpful voice in their head probably doesn't exist. 10 years ago, Cross found himself sitting up late at night with a baseball bat in his hand, waiting for an imaginary assailant he was convinced was about to break into his house, a figure conjured by his frantic mind after he received a threatening letter from a stranger who had seen him on TV. Cross, whose area of research is the science of introspection, knew that he was overreacting, that he had fallen victim to what he calls chatter. Let me see. Am I going to have to move? No, he's over there. Okay. There, I'm in the cemetery and they're mowing. But telling himself this did no good at all. At the peak of his anxiety, his negative thoughts running wildly on his loop, he found himself somewhat comically Googling bodyguards for academics. So, of course, this leads to all sorts of questions. It talks about his work, and he says, what he and his colleagues want to know, do some people benefit from turning inwards to understand their feelings? Why do some people benefit from turning inwards to understand their feelings, while some are apt to fall apart when they engage in precisely the same behavior? Are there right and wrong ways to communicate with yourself? And if so, are there techniques that might be usefully employed by those with inner voices that are just a little too loud? Okay, so that's how they're coming at it. They're saying, well, everybody has inner voices, and some people are benefited, other people aren't benefited. What's going on? How do we, you know, fix this? So of the chatter, this guy said, we're not going to rid the world of anxiety and depression, he says in his book, Chatter, The Voice of Our Head and How to Harness It. This is not a happy pill, and negative emotions are good in small doses, but it is possible to turn down the temperature a bit when it's running too high, and doing this can help all of us manage our experiences more effectively. Okay, so he doesn't necessarily divide the chatter. He doesn't necessarily say there's two forces running within us and provide any sort of roadmap for that, but he has some interesting things. So he says, there now exists a robust body of research to show that when we experience distress, something MRI scans suggest has a physical component as well as an emotional one, engaging in introspective can do significantly more harm than good. Our thoughts, he said, don't save us from ourselves. Rather, they give rise to something insidious, the kind of negative cycles that turn the singular capacity for human beings for introspection into a curse rather than a blessing, with potentially grave consequences for both our mental and physical health. introspection of the wrong sort can even contribute to faster aging. I absolutely believe all of this. So, but he says, avoiding our emotions across the board is not a good thing, he said. But let's think about distance instead. Some people equate this word with avoidance and repression, but I think of it as the ability to step back and reflect, to widen the lens, to get some perspective. We're not avoiding something by doing this. We're just not letting ourselves get overwhelmed. Now, this was interesting. According to one study, we talk to ourselves at a rate equivalent to speaking 4,000 words a minute. That's a lot. By comparison, the American president's State of the Union address, which usually runs to about 6,000 words, lasts more than an hour. So this inner voice that we have, when it gets going, it can talk really fast. Okay? No wonder that listening can be exhausting, whether it's a form of a rambling soliloquy or the compulsive rehashing of events, a free association pinballing from one thought to another, or a furious internal dialogue. Okay. So why do some people have a louder or more troubling inner voice than others? Well, that's harder to say, he says, which to me, this isn't hard to answer at all. That troubling voice within you is the flesh, and the flesh is easy to identify, and it's easily to figure out what you should be listening to. But he says there are so many ways it can be activated, some genetic, some environmental. What is certain is that these experiences cannot be discounted. The data is overwhelming when it comes to the connection between anxiety and physical health conditions. Yes, it is. Those who are able to quiet their inner voices are happier, and their sense of relief can be palpable. Okay, so he has a toolbox. And he says, first of all, venting usually does not good. One of the ways is you can talk to yourself in the third person. Rachel, you should calm down. This is not the end of the world. You are really doing yourself some good. Cross calls this distance self-talk. And it is, according to experiments he has run, one of the fastest and more straightforward ways of gaining emotional perspective. A psychological hack that is embedded in the fabric of human language. Talking to yourself like this, as if you were another person, isn't only calming. Cross's work shows that it can help you make a better impression or improve your performance, said in a job interview. It may also enable you to reframe what seems like an impossible possibility as a challenge. One with your own encouragement you may be able to rise to. Power of touch is important. Put your arms around someone. The power of nature, put your arms around a tree. Activities that induce awe, walking in the mountains, or time spent in front of a magnificent work of art are also useful. Writing a daily journal can prove efficacious. He also has something he calls compensatory control. So if the voice of the flesh within you is just completely out of hand, you know, and it's sometimes you can just like clean up your room. That happens. So he talks about the different stuff that we use. And he said, we want to find out if knowing this stuff influences how they regulate themselves. Does he make use of the toolbox, physician, heal thyself? And he says, we should probably ask my wife, he laughs, but yes, I do, absolutely. He said, I'm human too. In particular, he is very selective when it comes to friends for whom he seeks chatter support. Cross finished his book long before the outbreak of the pandemic, let alone storming of the Capitol. But as he observes, see, now what's interesting to me is, so there's a pandemic outbreak, and then there is, in essence, race riots for 8-9 months with cities burning. $2 billion worth of damage. And this writer, when they're picking things to be anxious about, goes, well, there's a pandemic, and they stormed the Capitol. Okay. I think we missed some pieces in there, but never mind. But as he observes, it could hardly be published at a more opportune moment. Quote, this is the perfect chatter episode for our society. Once in a lifetime pandemic, global uncertainty, widespread groupthink. His most cited paper to date looked at the harmful implications of social media, often a giant megaphone for the inner voice. Facebook expressly asks its users, what's on your mind? And the environment he thinks we need to learn to navigate with more care. Absolutely. So wraps it up. What technique should the pandemically anxious deploy? He says, well, one I would say is I personally rely on is temporal distancing. He said, this requires a person to look ahead, to see themselves determinedly in the future. Studies show that if you ask those going through a difficult experience how they will feel about it in 10 years' time rather than tomorrow, their troubles immediately seem more temporary. Does this really help? Yes, it does. I ask myself how I'm going to feel a year from now when I'm back in the office and I'm seeing my colleagues and traveling again, taking my kids to soccer, and that gives me hope. It is, as he said in the book, a form of time travel, a mental TARDIS that, if we can only manage to board it, may make everything from a bereavement right down to a silly argument seem less brutal and just a little easier to bear. Okay, so there you go. So that technique, that temporal, is a good technique. And that is what I did with my buddy. I got to drive to Walmart real quick here. And I got to check and see if I got any text messages, because if someone's expecting me to be somewhere quickly, I got to get that done. Nope. Okay, I will respond to that in a minute. Anyways, so, you know, this is in essence what I did with this young man who was in the middle. He's in the jaws of the beast. You know, this temporal distancing is what I know you feel. You think everything's falling apart now, but this is what's going to happen. Now, I knew he was listening to the flesh because he was generating anxiety. That's flesh. Period. If you're generating anxiety, if you're generating anger, if you're generating doubt, if you're generating lust, if you're generating, that's flesh. Period. It's flesh. Because the fact of the matter is, we are all loved, and there is nothing to fear. We are all loved, and there is nothing to fear. And we are destined for a great eternity. I was talking to a friend about this just recently. When you listen to the near-death stories, and they keep centering on the same types of things over and over and over and over again, how when people transition to the other side, there is this tremendous sense of love that they experience. There's tremendous just senses, colors, and emotions, closeness to others, all these things, this tremendous experience that they come back and they almost to a person say, I no longer fear death because of what they've experienced. All those things exist, and that's God and his environment, and we will transition there. And in light of the fact that we are going there and we will be glorious, then the question becomes, is it really worth our time to spend life anxious, to spend life lustful, to spend life angry over what others are doing? We are destined for eternity. And it's important that we remember that. And it's important that we remember that, in fact, if there are voices within our head, because the flesh actually talks with multiple accents and multiple voices, if there are voices in our head that are leading to confusion, that are leading to distress, that are leading to anxiety, that are leading to lust and anger and bitterness, those voices are not telling us the truth. And as I've often said, what you need to do is figure out what lie you're being told. Is it that you're not cared for by God? Is it that the future is murky and dim and is going to be terrible? Whatever that lie is, you need to figure out what that is. And if you figure out what that lie is, then, for instance, if you are having bad feelings about a certain person, whatever, so they did something, maybe you feel like they've wronged you, and you just, every time you think about that person, it's just like, you know, okay, well, that's flesh. And the way you deal with that, as I've mentioned in the past, is you begin to bless that person. You know, you just say, I thank you, my God, that you have allowed me to know this person, and I don't know exactly what they're going through, but I just pray that you will encounter them today, that you will help them in everything they put their hand to do, that you will bless them in all their ways. And it's amazing, when you are blessing another person, it's really hard for the flesh to get any traction on trying to make you feel bad about that person, especially if you're doing it out loud. And what you will find is if there's somebody you just can't get past something they've done to you, if you will bless them every day, you will find that those feelings that you have for them will just evaporate. Because you're treating them as a human being, and the flesh is going to get tired of you blessing them, and it will just quit. Because that's the really amazing thing. We think all these negative thoughts are coming from us. And they are, because it's our flesh. But we think it's coming from us proper, us spirit proper. But it's not. It's coming from the flesh. And one of the most interesting things you will ever feel is when you are in the middle of this thing where you are trying to get through something. And you're just battling and battling. And then you figure out what lie you're being told. And you put a spotlight on it, and that lie evaporates like cockroaches. And your emotions change instantly. And when you feel that for the first time, you will think, ah, got you. I got you. And for me, that experience of feeling that sudden change in emotions when I haven't done much except exposed a lie, that's an amazing thing. And it helps you as an individual have something that you can say, you know, I remember that happened to me, and this flesh spirit thing really is a real deal. So anyways, I'm way over on this already, but I don't know that I am because I had a couple of interruptions. But I got to get to Walmart. I got to get some food to eat because I'm going to be able to eat here in half an hour. And I want to get that done before I get into the thing tonight. And then I got to text. I got to text the worship pastor and say, hey, I am on the way. I'm coming. I'm just running a little late. Got to find out what our schedule is on that. And then we got this meeting tonight. And then I'm going home. And then I'll upload the podcast and do some writing, and then maybe get back to work on the dress dummy, Taylor's dummy, dress form, whatever we gotta call it. It'll be fine. This is Phil Farron. Have a great weekend.